Okay, good morning. Maybe we'll take source sheets and send them down. Pass, thank you. Everyone got? I think it should be enough. Okay. So good morning. Wanted to start off the series by discussing children on Shabbos. The child is, for this purpose, we'll talk about ages in a minute, but anybody under the age of bar bas mitzvah. Now we'll see certain rules that apply not only to children, but to all situations, regardless of a person's age. So the first thing just to understand is that a child has the halachic status of a chole she'ein bo sakana, right? A sick person, but there's not in life-threatening, there's no danger to their life, merely. So in the Shemir Shabbos Kehilchos, it gives a few examples on the first page of what would be examples of a cholish aim sakana. So a person who's confined to bed. A person can't get out of bed. They can't function. So that person is a cholish aim sakana. Somebody who's not confined to bed, but suffering from above normal temperature. Okay, so you can walk around, but you're not feeling 100%. Another case, an individual who, although not confined to bed, is suffering from pain such an extent that his whole body feels weak, like a migraine. Does anybody here ever get a migraine? Right? I never have, but apparently the mamish knocks you out, right? You can't function. So if a person would have that, that also, again, there's no life danger, but a person's a cholish aim b'sakana. They're found out. Another example gives a person who's not confined to bed, but doesn't get the treatment like asthma, diabetes, right, or a heart disease. And the last example on the page is a person who's in danger of losing the normal use of a limb. Doesn't mean the limb is going to be amputated, but it means that they're not going to be able to function. Anything would diminish it. It's going to diminish a person's eyesight. If it's going to diminish the person's ability to use their hand or their leg, they're going to limp. So that would all be examples of a chole she'ein bo sakana. I remember years ago when we were living in Queens, so there was a podiatrist, and he got on Shabbos, he had to go to the hospital. So when he got back, everyone was like, "Hockey, what? You had to like take out a toenail, an ingrown toenail or something? Or else you had to go to the hospital?" So he says, "No, I just amputated someone's foot." I said, "Okay, I guess you really did have to go to the hospital then, did you?" But those are examples of losing a limb is a cholish she'ein bo sakana, right? So these are now, a child has the status, so we'll see what you're allowed to do for a child because of that. Again, obviously there's different levels of what's permitted depending on the seriousness. We know if a cholish she'ein bo sakana, then anything's allowed. We just spoke a lot about that. You take them to the hospital, etc. So Gemara says on Yuma Ayin Ches Amid Beis. So the Gemara here is talking about the different types of the inuim that we have on Yom Kippur, not to eat, not to drink, not to wash our hands, etc., not to wear leather shoes. So the Gemara says the only one that a child will keep is not wearing leather shoes. So that the kid, fine, the kid won't wear leather shoes, but they're going to eat, they're going to drink. So the Gemara says, Ketani elahanach de lav visaihu gozu behu rabbanon. So anything that would affect the health or the normal growth of a child that was not included in the restrictions on a cotton. So therefore they would eat and drink. And there's no inyan whatsoever for a cotton to fast or to practice fasting, etc. I think they say from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that there are three things that people think you have to do three times, and all three are wrong. So one of the three is that a person thinks they have to fast 3 years before Yom Kippur. So there's no source for that whatsoever. That you have to, what were the other two?
Before Bar Mitzvah.
Before Bar Mitzvah, yeah, that's what I said. Sorry, that's what I meant. To fast 3 years before. So another one, what was the other two that people think you have to do three times? You have to wash your hands 3 times each. It's also not required. And another popular misconception, that if you take a Sefer Torah out of an Aron, you have to lane from it 3 times the new location. So there's no source for any one of those three. If people think you have to do all three times, then all three are wrong. But okay, fine. So then the Isser Veheter Ha'orach.
You're not supposed to wash 3 times?
Mikra, didn't you wash two? You wash two. The first one takes the tum off the hands, and the second one washes the Talmudic water off. Chasidim are makbid to wash 3 times. Okay, you could, but you don't have to. Mikra, didn't. Bigger than you only have to wash 2 times on each hand. Yeah. No, it's a good question. What?
I said it must be part Chassidic.
You didn't know you were so Chassidic. All right. The matzah balls on Pesach?
Yeah.
That's the litmus test. You eat your matzo balls.
The
amish. Okay. So comes along the Isser Veheter Horch. And he says, I'm reading Maseches Yom Kippurim, Kol Midi the Isbe Revisa Lienuka Logozbe Rabbanan. It quotes our Gemara, we just saw that anything that would affect the growth of a child is not included in the Isser. Hilkach Yochaloyma Laknaini Laasos Latinok Eish. Therefore, you're allowed to tell a non Jew to light a fire. Vishar Kol Tzrachav Afilu B'Shabbos. Because that's the status of the child, you're allowed to have them. You tell him to do malacha, to light a fire for the kid. V'chein im ein l'tinog ma yochel. There's nothing for the kid to eat. Yochel omar l'kanan. You could tell the nanji yibash lulo papa. I don't know what food that is, but Shabbos. You could have him cook something for food for him on Shabbos. Now, we have to understand the modern day applications would not be like, there's nothing, a kid wants an omelet, so you go get a nanji to come and make omelets for your child on Shabbos. No, it means there's mamash no food in the house, and the only way you would get food, but if you have a granola bar, you have a peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, so that's what you're going to give the kid. But if there's no food, then you'll be allowed to instruct a nanji to do malacha on behalf to give food for the child on Shabbos, just like any cholish she'im bo sakana. Then the Ramah extends a little bit. In the next one, the Ramah writes in Shin Chav Ches Yud Zayin, Mutar lomar la'akum la'asos tavshil Lekotin she'ein lomar lechol distam tzarchei kotin. Any need of the kotin kicholish imo sakana domi. It's like a cholish imo sakana. So now we've taken it a step further already. It's not just cooking. It's any needs that the child has. A child is cold. A child I don't know. Fill in the blank. A kid. We'll see a few practical examples. If they need some sort of medicine or something like that, we would be allowed to do that. So now come back to something I said over a minute or two ago. What's the age of a katan? Like, at what point in halacha, katan is really up till 12, up to bar or bas mitzvah? So, how far do we extend this kula of asking a non-Jew to do something for a child? Because they're a cholish ima sakonim. So, the age in the Minchas Yitzchak is he's going to say 9. If you look where the arrow is in the next source, they pick it up. See what it says? Veharambam. Where the arrow is, Veharambam. Kos de katan shehu pachos mi ben tes. There's a 9-year-old on Yom Kippur, ein ma'an oso b'Yom Kippurim. Kdei shelo yovel yidei sakana. So again, for under 9, we don't have a kid fast on Yom Kippur because they don't want to come to it. So based upon this, that's where Rav Dayan Weiss, Minchas Yitzchak, wants to set the parameters. For a child up till the age of 9, that's what we call the Necholesh She'ein Bo Sakana. And at that point, we would, but above that already, then they wouldn't necessarily have this status. That's what it is. You have a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, even a 12-year-old, we would not necessarily have these kulas to ask non-Jews to do malacha for the child if they needed something. So Rav Shechter, Shlita...
So are we saying that a 10-year-old already fasts on Yom Kippur? Is that the...
We fast partially, not the full time. But they practice, so they can build up to it. But again, everything depends on the health of a child. If there's any danger whatsoever to a child, you know they're not going to do that. So the kid's going to say, 1 second. What if a kid? You think not eating one day out of the year is going to harm a kid's overall growth? Is that really realistic? Chazal had very, very concerned for the health of children, for health in general. So you see that. Yeah, but he said Rav Dayan Weiss holds is considered to be like a chola up until the age of 9. Mm-hmm. 10 already, that's like thing. Rav Shechter argues, says no, it's not dependent on an age. In Ikve Hatzon, Rav Shechter says like this at the top. Re'isi bekama mechlari v'zmanenu. I see many contemporary works. Sheviu lahalach as divri hagoyin haminchas haminuach. Sorry, baal minchas yitzchakza. So they bring what we just saw, that the idea is that you have up until 9. Sha'ad giltes din hakotan kicholet she'im bo sakana le'inyin dino shel haramah. Right? Again, putting it all together. Shachta's working out the whole paper trail. The Ramah says that for a katan like this, you could do things. So then, Dayan Weiss says that it goes up until a 9-year-old. So he says, right? Umakoro me Yushalmi. The source of this is a Yushalmi. Da'ad giltes ein mechanchin afilu l'shaos shemi yistakin hatinuk. So up until 9, we don't even tell a kid to fast at all, not even partially for a few hours, because we don't want the kids to endanger their health. God forbid. Upshutu nira shetziruf divrei har Yushalmi lekan tzorich iyan godol. He says to compare the Yushalmi that says a kid doesn't fast until up till the age of 9. to Hilchos Shabbos, he says Tzarich Inyan Gadol. It's very difficult to say such a thing. Together Inyan Chodesh Emos Sakana Inyan Hilchos Shabbos. Who, when you're talking about a Chodesh Emos Sakana, that's within a different track. That's the Shabbos track. Im Cholov Mitzavo Moino Milis Paki BaOifin Normally. The kid can't be normal because of that. With Tinokos and with the little kids, Im Lo Yitnu Lahem Lechol Bezman Shehim Ravim. We all know this as parents. Any kid you don't give when they're hungry, so then you know the whole world is collapsing on them. They're hungry. They want to eat, and they want to eat now. Af Shabor Lo Nishlo Yichal Lechol Lechol. We know the kid's not really going to get sick out of this. We know if the kid doesn't get his peanut butter and jelly sandwich or his whatever, his Cinnamon Toast Crunch cereal, whatever it is, the kid's going ballistic and screaming and screaming and screaming. We know it's not the end of the world. Nevertheless, they're going to cry, they're going to scream out. They're not going to behave in a normal way. They're going to get so worked up and put themselves in a frenzy, bent out of shape. But open normal lead, they can't be normal. So says Rav Shechter, in that case, the kid can't function normally, which is really what we started off with. A person can't, even an adult, can't walk around the house, can't do the things, they have attempts, the whole body feels sore. That's the definition of a cholesh eimbo sakana. So says Rav Shechter, it's not totally upon the kid's age. Even if a 10-year-old, an 11-year-old, whatever it is, they're so worked up and they can't function normally, so then all the coolness that we have don't stop just because the kid is above the age of 9. It's not all what the Yerushalmi is talking about. Right, you can't bring a proof from there. So it's not dependent on age per se. According to Rav Shechter, depending on each situation, has to be examined. And according to this, if a child above the age of 9 is not going to be able to function, they have the status of a cholesh eimbo sakana, and we would be allowed to ask the non-Jew to do it. Now, Rav Shechter says even more that you don't have to wait till it actually gets to that point. If you know, I don't have to wait till I tell my kid no and I don't let them eat. And then in an hour, then they start going crazy. You can give them the food right now. You don't have to wait till the situation gets exacerbated and gets to that actual point. You're allowed to go ahead and do it. Okay. So, in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, trying to move it along, where do they weigh in on this? So on the next page, it says a child up to the age of 9 or 10, depending on the stage of his development, requires special treatment on account of the sensitivity of his constitution. As a result, the rabbis permitted one, when indeed the need arises, to do so on Shabbos for a child his age, what everyone would do for a person who is ill, but not dangerously so. This applies not only to the preparation of food, but also attending other needs of the child which affect his health. Right? So there we see, that was the whole paper trail which we just went through, all the sources. That was the, start with the, sorry, 1 second, go back, is with the Ha'orich, right? And then the Ramah extended that, and that's how it's brought down the halacha that one could do this. Any questions so far? No one just doing. We're good? Okay. So the next thing is the Mishnah Berurah for the Pesach. Let's see a second. Let me do the next Mishnah Berurah with you. I'm going to skip that one for a second. The Mishnah says, So you could do it by derabbanans if you do a for the child. So if you do a shinui with it, right? But the Chai Adam says if it's impossible with a shinui, you're allowed to do it even without a shinui. And then the Baal HaTanya Shulchan Aruch Harav says even more, you can do deraisa with a shinui. In the next one, it says, Aval im ein bo sakonas aver. I mean, the kid's not going to lose a limb. El shenofel de mishkav. That's the idea that a person just can't function. They have to lie down in bed. Oshem it's tire kol kach ad shechol mimena kol gufo. Your whole body is in pain. Ein oisin lo divre dover ha'osir mi divre sofrim ayde Yisrael. El b'shinui mi derech achol. So you do it in an abnormal way. Va'ide shinui muter la sos afilu malacha gemura kigon konech shemuter yalek the thief. Okay, that kimo she is bayer she kaven she mishane ba'asiyah so eino asura elam idivrei soifrim. So it's like a double shvus. It's a shvus to shvus for the child. You're doing it a double durbana in this case would be allowed, but it even allows he even allows to do a malacha til raisa for a child with a shinoi. And in Shmir Shabbos Kehilchasa, he says, Shmati me'agonim shalom zaman orbach zatzal, t'mekeim shekol eile hagedolim matirin listaber shiachon vadei lahakel im iefshar ayidei nochri. If you can't find a non-Jew around, then you would be allowed to do it yourself. You'd be allowed to do it yourself with a shinoi. So we'll see in a minute. One of our kids had to be on a nebulizer on Shabbos. And so what do you do? So the best thing to do is to set it up with a Shabbos clock beforehand, you know, the certain times for the, you know what a nebulizer is, right? The yeah. Medicine. So that's the best practice to do. But for some reason, it didn't work, whatever, the timer didn't go off. So now, we had a very nice non-Jewish neighbor who was able to come, and he turned it on for us. But Mi'ikra Din, if a person would not be able to find, there's no one able to, then you could do it yourself with a shino. You could turn it on because, again, working out the whole svara, because it's the child is a stas v'chola she'im bo sakana, and you're allowed to do it with a shino. So there's a contemporary few svarim that go through these just to point out practical examples. If you have any questions, we could try to discuss those also. But the next page, it says one could ask a non-Jew to grate an apple for a baby who needs it. Right? We're going to talk plans for next week to talk about different how to prepare foods for children and for adults as well. What's allowed, you know, grinding, tochin is a problem, you know, cutting things into small little pieces, but for another thing, that's a danger because a child can't take such big pieces. Just making salads in general, we'll talk a Mitzvah Shem next week about that for that. But here you could ask a non-Jew to do it. One may request a non-Jew to turn on a light for a small child who's frightened or liable to become frightened. Again, you don't have to wait till the kid freaks out. If there's a realistic concern, then you can have them to turn on the Jew. Others may also benefit from the light once it's on. One may also tell a non-Jew to turn off the light so the child could sleep. Okay. The next one, 28. One may ask a non-Jew to take a sick child, even though not in danger, to the doctor by carrying him through Shus HaRabim or by driving him there. So this is an interesting question. What's the din with using a stroller in a place where there is no Erev? So if it's B'mako Mitzvah, technically speaking, one would be allowed to. Provided that it's the standard of Shabbos observance in the community where you're at, which doesn't have an Erev, is not going to be compromised by having a non-Jew pushing your stroller. If a person needs to get somewhere for something like that, so they could have, you know, having a non-Jew push a stroller in a Carmelis, okay, would be a double derabbanan, so that would be allowed. And Rabbi Savalovsky once said that he got a shaila about someone was asking, they were out of town, and so he asked them, well, what's the standard of Shabbos in that community where you're going to be? He says, you know, there are people driving to shul. He says, oh, if that's the standard of Shabbos, then they're driving, you're having a goy push the stroller is not going to be so conspicuous, and therefore you could go ahead and have it. But it is a shaila. Sometimes people have to go somewhere and they need to get it, but the child's not able to walk. So then these are, again, all working within this alums.
So there the question would be, can you do it yourself, though? If the standard Shabbos, they say, they're driving to shul.
No, because that's a single derabbanan. You have to do it. There has to be a double derabbanan on this point. You know, it's because the one is the mir la'akum, that's the first derabbanan, and then the second one is pushing a stroller, which is hotzah, in a rishusara, in a karmelis, which is a second derabbanan. So it's a shvus to shvus, a double derabbanan, b'makom mitzvah, that would allow to do it. That would be allowed to do it. But it has to, yeah. So, that would be there. But he writes at the end, his decision in this particular matter should reflect the local practice. You have to know if they're going to pelt you with stones for having the goy push the stroller, so then probably not best practice to, I'm not advocating throwing stones at anybody, but you have to know. Okay, the next few more examples. This is from Rabbi Cohen Sefer. Taking vitamins on Shabbos. Says there's a dispute among authorities under what conditions an adult is permitted to take vitamins on Shabbos. However, all children under the age of 3 are permitted to take vitamins on Shabbos. If a child has a weak constitution, the child is permitted to take vitamins until the age of 9. So again, that's our cutoff point. What about if a cold house? So one's home is insufficiently heated and it's probable that one become ill, the post can determine that one's considered a chol l'shem bo sakana in areas without adequate heat, right? Hakol nikra chol ezon. What?
Okay.
Shema Sakana, yeah. Okay. Everyone's considered to be a chol in regards to coldness. In such situations, one may ask a Gentile to raise the heat. Furthermore, the Gentile may also be asked to turn on the heat. The above rule applies even when there's adequate heat for adults, yet additional heat is required for the children in the house. If an air conditioner was on and the result the house became too cold, it's permissible to tell the Gentile to lower or to turn off the air conditioner.
So you said this is even when there's no children? Only when there are children.
Which one? The heat?
The heat cold.
Are there any elderly people? If there's a regular healthy adults, then we would probably not do it. Right. But if there's an elderly or children, then we'd be more sensitive and therefore we would even do it. But people should know it's not so posh to ask a non-Jew to adjust the temperature. If it's in a shul and there's young kids and there's elderly people that said, okay, we'll have a heter to do this. But just because I'm a little bit uncomfortable, so put a sweater on. take a sweater off, whatever way it goes. Let's see a few ones. Taking out a splinter. One could remove a splinter with a needle on Shabbos. However, one should be careful to avoid drawing blood. Right, that's an Issur D'oraisa. It's forbidden to place a needle in fire to sterilize it for the purpose of removing a splinter. Placing ice on a bump.
Is that cooking? I mean, what's it?
Makeh b'patish.
Okay.
I believe it'd be makeh b'patish. It's permitted to... Fire, if you change the definition of bishul, is changing the property of an item using heat. So if you were going to melt the needle, which is not going to happen, but that would be bishul.
Yeah.
That would be bishul. Yeah, I'm assuming that it's because of makeh b'patish, because you couldn't use it.
Putting
the finishing touches on an object. I'm assuming that you can't. You don't use the non-sterilized needle. So by you sterilizing it, that's making it able to be used. I'm assuming he's working with
makeh b'patish. Because you could have a situation where it was okay, but it's been sitting around, and now you're worried, right?
I mean, yeah, right. So you wouldn't use it.
It had already been finished previously.
Right. The final
step, yeah.
Because you're talking about a needle that's already been in use, but you've got to use it again. It's just like a thermometer. Right?
Uh-huh.
You're going to wash it with alcohol between uses.
Right.
You have a status where it's already been finished.
So would someone do that? Would they wash a needle with alcohol? Would that sterilize it?
Yeah.
On the pad?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so funny. Firstly, you flame it.
Not a problem.
And then, of course, that's how you know that you have to splinter out when the blood comes. So it's like, it's telling you can't do it, basically. Even though it says you can't do it.
You don't always bleed when you take out a splinter.
Because they dig out part of your finger with it.
Yeah.
That's how you know it's...
They're going above and beyond over there.
If you have a black on, you have the fire in the
back. Yeah. Do we do ice on a bump? It's permitted to place ice on a bump or to apply pressure with a knife. Lawrence, that works to take down they put like the back end. I remember as a kid, like they put the side knife to push down the bump.
Yeah,
it worked or doesn't work?
I remember that.
My medical expert, does that work?
I've never seen it.
You never seen it?
I've
seen it. I don't know if it works, though.
I've seen people put butter on burns, and that's great because then just get the eggs and, you can cook eggs. But, it's the worst thing to do for a burn.
It is? It's horrible to put butter on a burn?
You're putting oil on it. You're putting oil on a burn. What does oil do when it burns? It burns more.
Uh-huh.
So,
So where does that come from? Putting butter on a...
Chefs?
They burn themselves alive.
Okay.
And they have...
On the... What?
I can tell you the Russian remedy for that.
The Russian remedies.
I've worked with chefs that have done that. And
no. The Russians use something else. That's home remedy.
Okay.
No. Bodily fluids.
Before or not.
But the ice on a bump, that happens all the time on Shabbos with kids.
Right. Yeah, yeah.
That's a common...
Try to pick some common examples. I don't know how common is the next one. Adding water to a vaporizer. Does that happen? I guess if you need... Cold water vaporizers operating since before Shabbos, you may always add cold water on Shabbos.
Hmm.
Right? If hot water is needed for vaporizer, which has been operating before Shabbos, it should be taken from an urn or kettle that was cooked before Shabbos and poured through the spout. If none is available, then you can ask a non-Jew to cook water for this purpose.
That might be too hot, actually, for vaporizers.
For the machine, yeah.
Urns could be 120 degrees. Vaporizers aren't going to usually go that hot.
What if I got it like 110?
I don't know. It's plastic still. You're putting it into a plastic machine.
So you can add some cold water to the...
You
can add
cold
water to
it. It would be too hot, you're saying.
It might be too hot for the
boiling water.
Interesting.
All right, so take your hot water and add some cold water to it.
Are you going to know what's... you're not going to take a temperature of it, so I don't know. I don't know what different machines you're...
So do it the old-fashioned way. Yad Soletis, but put your finger in it. See if it...
Maybe.
No, probably. When
then
maybe
then go to the
receding.
If you pour it into a shlishi, a
cliche. He's not talking about halacha bishul. He's talking about just metzias. It might break the machine to put it in the hot water.
To cool it down.
Oh, to cool it down, yeah.
Not to let us go to you is going to be very different than let's say my pizza guy.
Okay, you're right.
The guy has his hands in a 500-degree oven all the time.
Yeah.
And doesn't bother him.
The post can point out anywhere, let's say up to 160. Some even take it as low as 110, maybe. Could be Yad Zaletisbo. So 110 is not, I don't know.
110 is
it's not so hot, right? Cold. It's cold, right? Right. In the Lamentes Melachos book, he has a page where he talks about, like, you know, common things that we experience. He puts the temperature at them, like what a typical shower is, what the hot soup is at. But you tell me in catering, they say soup, they won't even serve unless it's 180. Is that right?
175,
180. 170, well, it's too cold to even serve, right? If it's right. Not that thing. Right. Yeah. Okay, let's do one more, the nebulizer. Children who have a tendency to wheeze or have reactive airway disease or asthma may require the use of a pulmonary nebulizer on a regular or semi-regular basis during the week and on Shabbos. If one knows before Shabbos, the child needs the required preventative nebulizer treatments, a Shabbos clock may be utilized to give him or her the required treatments at regular intervals on Shabbos. So again, that's what we had in B'didihai Uvdot, that's what we tried to do, but it didn't work, whatever. The child is having respiratory difficulty. The nebulizer must be used immediately. If time of the essence, the Jew himself should activate it, preferably with a shinui. If a child is available, he should turn it on with a shinui. If time is not of the essence and a Gentile is easily accessible, one should ask him to turn on the machine. But again, we recognize the need, and if it would be, again, time sensitive issue, you could do it yourself. If not, though, and you know it's going to happen, you realize, you know, that it didn't go on, and you have an hour until the next treatment or whatever it is, then try to find. But this all comes down back to the idea we started with, that every child has a status of a chole she'ein bo sakana, and therefore there's a heter of amir la'akum to ask them to do malachas, even derises, on behalf of a child. Are there any particular questions? Yeah, I just want to try to give more of an introduction, and we'll give a few practical examples. But
so the vitamins for adults?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, nowadays the big thing, you know, all over is, you know, all these different bariatric surgeries and stuff.
Right.
You need to, you know, be on vitamins for these.